The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, on Sports360AZ.com, on White Mountain Radio, on AZ Central Sports, on Twitter. Lots of different ways to follow us and to check out our content. Sports360AZ.com, that is our homepage. That is the heartbeat. We're Arizona-centric. Thanks for being with us. It is April Fool's Day. I'm not going to do any pranks on the show, although in the past we've been known to do that. I think in this day and age of Twitter, everybody's doing pranks today. I saw where EG's, one of Eric's favorite spots and mine as well, whenever we're in Tucson, put out that they are doing a ranch-flavored EG's today, and people actually bought into that. I'm not going to go that far. There was a time, I'll share with you, a great April Fool's Day prank that we did involving Jake Plummer that really, really upset Arizona State. Like, they were so mad, screaming at me over the phone. And it was like, guys, have a sense of humor. This was 20 years ago, but, you know, come on, have a little bit of fun with this. So there is a story today about Tiger Woods missing the Masters. It's not an April Fool's Day prank. I wish it were. But I'm going to get into that a little bit later on Tiger. Pedro Gomez is going to join us. Pedro is back with us every week. Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, right here with us during the baseball season. One of our annual traditions, having somebody of that caliber every week, who, of course, is a Valley resident. Pedro Gomez will join us for our weekly segment here in about 15 minutes. He's in an airport in Colorado, coming back from the Orioles game against the Red Sox. I'm going to talk to Pedro about the health of Curt Schilling. Curt Schilling is in a fight with cancer, and I'm sure that Pedro has heard some things, being that Curt works with him at ESPN. I'm going to talk to him about the Diamondbacks' blow-up last night. It was just awful. Can you lose a World Series in April? Can you miss the playoffs in April? Absolutely you can. So plenty to get into with Pedro Gomez here in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk about concussions today a little bit. It's been a while, and one of the benchmarks of what we've done on this show and this platform since I left TV and came over here was we're not afraid to talk about the stuff that many of you as parents and as coaches and just consumers of football look at. Scott Peters, former ASU star, seven-year NFL vet. He's the founder of Safe Football. And I've had Scott on many, many times on this show, and it's been about a year to find out how he is doing against the NFL. Because he really is against the NFL and what he's trying to build up. Ongoing concussion issues, the direction under Roger Goodell, Scott Peters. And then we're going to bring in a couple from the Arizona Rattlers, a team doctor for the Rattlers, Dr. Sheldon Martin, and the team president, Joe Windham, both in studio to talk about something that the Rattlers are doing in regards to health on the field, off the field, later this month that I think you should be interested in, and we'll find out I'm interested in it. Because the medical side of football is the great unknown. Yeah, we love blocking and tackling, but is it really something that you want your kids out there to be doing? Or are there signs? I've coached some kids now that see stars, that can't sleep, that have some real issues, and they're soccer kids or they're basketball kids that I've coached back in their seventh, eighth, ninth grade, and now they're into college, and they're jacked up, for lack of a better term, because of concussions. So I'm going to spend a couple segments today on that. It's something I've been putting off for a while, but I think it's time to do that. So a lot going on in the world of sports. We get it all off and running. Eric and I have been on the road, it feels like, for the last month. Not that we wouldn't mind being in Dallas this week, but we actually have a little bit of semblance of order. You made it through the earthquakes in Anaheim. You were with the U of A.
I did. Nice
now
to see you
now
again.
They're done. Are you glad they're done?
No.
That's a yes. That's a yes.
Nope. I love being away for 6 days by myself in California. Anyway, on today's Facebook question,
yeah,
Brad,
yeah,
as
yeah,
you
yeah,
mentioned,
yeah.
The calendar has changed. It is April.
Yeah.
It's kind of go time for the Coyotes and the Suns right now. They are making their final playoff pushes. The Coyotes have a total of 7 games left. The Suns have 8 games left. The Suns are right on the outside of the playoffs. The Coyotes are the 8 seed, so we ask you today, who's in, who's out? Pick one.
Boy, the way the Suns played the other night was just dreadful. Just horrendous.
Bad loss to the Lakers.
Oh, God, just dreadful.
Yeah.
So
I'm going with the Coyotes.
You're going with the Coyotes?
Because they don't have they're not behind the eight ball in terms of the tiebreakers.
Yeah.
Because the Suns will lose the tiebreaker to Memphis, and I believe they'll lose the tiebreaker to Dallas. I'm not sure about that. And the Coyotes play the Stars the final game of the regular season, which could be really intriguing if it's win or go home. Mm-hmm. So Facebook.com/sports360AZ. There's a question up there every day. Even Jared, when I was in Anaheim, put up a question every day. I was
pretty
impressed.
His questions blew, by the way. It was just, I had to pound on him every day. Like, you're not Eric. Eric, please get back here, because his questions were
I'm sure they were fun.
They were, no, you know what they were? They're everything Arizona. It was all this U of A nonsense. And I don't know. There's these people that feel like I've got this ASU or U of A agenda. I don't care. I wasn't rooting for either side. These nitwit ASU fans who, as soon as U of A lost the other night, they're just pounding on them, saying, oh, kitty cats, go lick yourselves and all this and that. It's just dumb. It's like, get back to me when you have a basketball program that makes it to the Elite Eight. You know, and then the U of A fans, on the other hand, you know, they're getting their digs in. It's like, give me a football team that goes to the Rose Bowl when it's not October or November.
It makes the rivalry more salty.
Oh, I guess.
It's going to be like that till the end of time. So
you think?
Oh, yeah.
No,
love lost. Oh, you don't think the ASU fans love the fact that there was pseudo rioting in the streets after U of A lost an Elite Eight game?
And it was 15 students.
Yeah, but still.
It wasn't a bunch of adults.
But go on Twitter and it was like, oh my gosh, Tucson is crumbling to the ground.
Yeah,
there's protesters and rioting. And
no, you're right.
It happens.
You're right. Go over to Facebook.com/Sports360AZ and give us your input. Let's get you caught up on some things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of what we do since day number one. It's because there's great people up there. You can get out and about, enjoy the high country, make your plans to see entertainment, pull down on the slots, eat some tremendous food, and get away from it all at the Honda Resort and Casino. It's just outside of Pine Top. Those of you in the valley or around the great state, the Honda Resort and Casino, that's a place to stay. Get on up to the White Mountains and enjoy yourself, over to the Sunrise Ski Resort and much more, the Honda Resort and Casino. Tiger Woods, pinched nerve in his back, will miss the Masters, undergoing surgery. So I saw this story a little bit before Eric. Eric was working on some things. And his initial reaction, I think, is probably the reaction of many of you. It's, oh no, did you see the story on Tiger? I don't think that there's anybody in their right mind that would say, oh good, Tiger is out of the Masters. That's tremendous next week, because I'm now going to root for so-and-so. I didn't want to see Tiger out there. There is something about villains. It's like if anybody rooted against Kobe Bryant being hurt, I don't think you really like sports. Sports is much better when Kobe Bryant is on the basketball court. It's much better when Tiger Woods is on the golf course. The ratings may not be as high. I don't know, a four-day badge for the Masters. So what they say badge, it's your ticket to get in, right? The cheapest four-day Masters badge available right now is $4,000. I want to see Tiger, $4,000, I'm going to the Masters. The market without Tiger, will it go down to what, $2,500? $2,000? There's going to be some sort of fallout and impact on Tiger Woods not being at the Masters. It's the first time since 1994 that Tiger Woods will not be at Augusta. He has now missed, I believe it's 23 majors since he won a major. With the violent way that he swings, is his body breaking down? I don't know. I know that there was a change in the guard. I'm old enough to remember, and doesn't mean I'm that old, I'm old enough to remember the end of Jack Nicklaus and Johnny Miller. And then golf kind of just fell off the face of the planet, and nobody really talked about golf till this guy Tiger Woods came along, and then this guy Phil Mickelson came along. And now the two of them are hitting that stage where it's almost over. I'm going to find myself watching Golf Channel on a Friday afternoon at 3 before I go to Denny's for the senior special someday and watch Tiger and Phil play in, I don't know, they're going to be playing in Milwaukee or some nonsensical event on the seniors tour. That's not going to be fun. I'll probably be that guy that will sit there when they have Tiger play in the par three with Phil, when they're in their 60s and they're barely able to move. And I'll be looking at them saying, oh, this is so cool. This is so nice. This is not a good day for sports. Anybody who says it's great that Tiger is out isn't a big fan of what we do, isn't a big fan of what we consume. They're guys like when Tom Brady retires and Peyton Manning retires, there'll be other great quarterbacks that will come along. Maybe Andrew Luck is that guy. We've all wanted to see on the golf course, I do believe, Rory McIlroy is going to be that next player that takes the place of Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, and we'll all get behind Rory, we'll have huge galleries, and it'll be the Rory show. And he hasn't come close. Just look at what happened in the last few weeks in Florida. The Florida swing, give me the names of the guys that won through the stops in Florida. It's a whole group of guys. That may be good for the diest of diehard golf fans. It's not good for guys like you and I that have jobs every day, and we want to see the greatness. We want to sit there on a Sunday afternoon. We want to hear about the azaleas and Jim Nantz with the fake bird chirping in the background and all that stuff. But today is just a bad day, and it's not an April Fool's Day joke. I wish it were. I really do wish it were. The Diamondbacks were just awful last night late. They were good early. Gerardo Parra at the plate. You like what Gerardo Parra is already off to this season.
On the ground and throw to right. Trumbo scores there. Wade Montero. Here's the throw, and he is out at home.
No, got the ball.
And we might have our first look at replay here. They change the call. Safe, the run scores.
And that was the right call. Steve Berthiaume and Bob Brenly on Fox Sports Arizona. Gerardo Parra, two-run single. Mark Trumbo drove in a couple of more. Mark Trumbo already has six RBIs. But the Diamondbacks bullpen, here's Buster Posey at the plate in the ninth inning. Here's the new guy, Addison Reed, trying to get it done.
High and deep to left. This baby is out of here!
And the Giants have taken the lead here in the ninth. And you can hear the fans. They have come into this town from San Francisco.
It was sounded like a Giants home game last night. It was supposed to be the Diamondbacks' home opener. If you watch the broadcast, as hard as Fox Sports Arizona tried to not show the corners, they were empty. And it wasn't every seat full. I'm not nitpicking here, but it's just a tough deal for the Diamondbacks to get fans to come to the game in huge numbers. Opening day, nice crowd, very good crowd. Crowd was into it. As the game went along and the Giants were making the comeback, you could clearly hear the Giants fans getting into it. On the other side, we'll talk to Pedro Gomez about it. ESPN's baseball analyst, Pedro Gomez, joins me every week here on our show, Sports360AZ.com. On AZ Central Sports, appreciate the partnership with the Arizona Republic. We're on White Mountain Radio. People find our show and follow us on Twitter as well, at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. A lot of different ways to take us in as we continue to grow. Pedro Gomez is next.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com. It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Cesmak.
Let's talk baseball for a couple of minutes. It is time once again, another year, another session with Pedro Gomez. We're going to have Pedro with us every week as we did all last year. Of course, ESPN and Valley residents own Pedro Gomez talking Major League Baseball, whatever else he and I feel like talking about. He was in Baltimore yesterday for the opening game between the Orioles and the Red Sox. He joins us today from, where are you right now? What airport are you in?
I'm actually at Denver International. I'll be in Ahwatukee probably in about 2-3 hours.
All right. So when you're traveling as much as you're going, what is the worst airport to go through?
God, they're all pretty good. The ones I go through, Houston's a little big. It can be a little troublesome, but it's not horrible. But if I had to pick one, it might be Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's because you're an ESPN guy, and everybody just imagines that you have like these private planes, and you have people standing there with cards that say Pedro Gomez, and that's a luxurious life, right?
People would be incorrect if they thought that. Vastly incorrect.
So Red Sox, Orioles, and the Red Sox this year are being looked at as one of the teams to keep an eye on. But then you have the Orioles on the other hand that I think Baltimore is going to be better than some would say. What is your read of the two teams you're around yesterday? We'll get to the Diamondbacks in a minute, but your read of those two teams.
I would say that after watching the Orioles, you know, I don't get to see a lot of grapefruit league teams during spring training because I'm based in Arizona, so these were pretty new to me, and I definitely came away impressed with the Orioles' depth. They look like they are built for the entire 162-game stretch. Would not shock me at all if I didn't pick them because I picked Tampa Bay, but at the end of September, I would not be surprised if they're sitting in first or second place and in the postseason. I was really impressed with the roster, the way it's built. And, they have a couple of questions in the rotation, but everybody does. Mm-hmm. Everybody does. And their offense, Flaherty's playing third base yesterday in place of Manny Machado, who's not going to be back for maybe 5 or 6 weeks, did a fantastic job defensively. So if they're built like this right now without Manny Machado, I like them. The Red Sox, of course, are always dangerous because they have that self-confidence. They have talent, don't get me wrong, but they have that self-confidence that it doesn't matter what happens, we're the Boston Red Sox, and we're going to find a way to win. I don't know. It's very difficult to repeat. It's extremely difficult to repeat. So I'd be surprised if they did, but, you know, they are the Boston Red Sox. They find a way to always be there.
Talking baseball, Pedro Gomez. He'll join us every week here on the show, as he did last year, with Brad Sesmat, Sports 360 AZ, on AZ Central Sports, partnered up with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter as well. When you're around Dustin Pedroia, here's an Arizona State guy who's turned into a super, super, super star. Give the Arizona fans an idea of what it's like dealing with him and how he's grown from the guy at ASU to what you see now.
I would say he is the exact same guy he was at Arizona State. Yes, he is a superstar. There's no doubt about it. But he is anything but that superstar personality. He is the equivalent of a gym rat. He is always, always working. And, I mean, this is a guy who tore a ligament in his thumb on opening day a year ago and went to the doctors and they told him, it's surgery and 6 weeks of rehab where you can tough it out. And his reply was, there's not even a question as to what the answer is. And he played 157 or 158 games last year, and that's who Dustin Pedroia is. He had surgery about a week after they won the World Series, so he'd been scarred yesterday. But this is a guy who is as tough as anybody in the game, and maybe it's because he's one of the shorter guys in the game and always having to prove himself. But, you know, even with the big contract, this guy plays harder than anybody on the field, and he's a big reason that the Boston Red Sox identity is that of a gritty, gritty team. And it's because a lot of it has to do with Dustin Pedroia. I mean, a fantastic ball player. I would sum it up as a winning ball player.
Wow, it sounds like you have a man crush on him. I mean, you're just raving about him.
He is.
What are you, his agent? Or come on.
he's signed for the next 8 years, so he doesn't need an agent at this point. I am a big fan of his, though.
Sure, sure. And how could you not be? And I don't know if you saw the train wreck that was the Diamondbacks last night and what happened on their opening.
All I did was read about it.
Yeah. And the Giants were just as bad. Like, they kicked the ball all around the infield and made some of the dumbest plays that you would see in a game. And I guess, Pedro, is it an ominous sign that the Diamondbacks are already 0-3? I can't sit here and say, well, it's just one game. With all the injuries, all the arm troubles that they've had here. Now, Hernandez, along with Corbin, along with Hudson, is there a pattern of concern with how the Diamondback pitchers have been used? Three guys now.
It is three. But you look at Atlanta and they've got a couple as well. And I think it's more a reflection of the sign of the times that guys are now throwing 95 plus and you're just putting a lot of torque on that arm. And why there are so many of these punted on type surgeries right now is because of the round the year time that kids spend playing baseball growing up.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, it's not like before where, you know, somebody would be a three sport star in high school. You basically stay to one sport now. And if you are a pitcher, you're playing spring ball, you're playing summer ball, you're playing fall ball. You get about a month or two off in, around Christmas time in the new year, and then you start the whole thing up again. And I remember I'm talking to Dave Rigetti. He said, in the fall, we played football. In the winter, we played basketball. And in the spring, we played baseball. And in the summer, we did nothing. And, you know, there's a guy who threw hard, but did never had a Tommy John surgery 20, 30, 40 years ago. And that was telling me that he truly believes that it's because kids are only doing one thing now, and they're not allowing their arms to rest, especially if they are pitchers.
The danger side of that is you coach club ball, right? You're a club ball coach, right?
I was.
Yeah. And so there's this pressure that is being put on kids that if you're not working on your craft, there's a kid somewhere else in the country who is. Thus, you better get after it. And if you're not on the right club team, I remember Matt Williams telling me that his son, when he was doing the club deal, his son was left on the mound to throw 160 pitches in a game, and Matt wasn't there, obviously. And Matt was furious. He wanted to strangle the coach for that. I think there's just a lot of contributing factors to where we see overuse of kids. And by the time they get to the big leagues, it's almost a given now that, oh, I've already had my Tommy John. It's kind of like getting my wisdom teeth pulled.
Which is a horrible way to look at it, because you don't want surgery. You always want to avoid surgery. That has to be the absolute last resort. It should not be viewed as, oh, I want to get it done so that it's done. But you're right. There is that mentality. And if I were Matt Williams, I would have been furious over that as well. And I know Matt's son no longer plays baseball. I don't know if it's because of the owner or whatever, but I always made it a point to tell every parent, we're not going to be one of those teams that goes out there to win every week. We're going to play and develop kids so that when they do get to the high school level, they're able to make their high school teams. And that was our philosophy. And we had very little turnover on my club team. You know, we didn't win every week, but it doesn't matter. We were developing kids, and those kids are, for the most part, now playing at Desert Vista High School. So I saw it, though, from the other dugout, and I saw where these teams were, you know, almost militaristic in their approach. And you never really saw that much fun from the other teams. And it had, because you're losing a generation of players, whether it be to burnout or to injury, and it's needless.
Pedro's got to catch a flight here in a couple of minutes. Before I let you go, a couple of the quick hits. What do you know about Curt Schilling's medical condition with cancer right now?
I've heard it's very serious. I have heard it's serious. It's not something that is, it's not a simple type cancer. It's something that is on the serious side, and hopefully he makes it through.
Is there a team here in the first week or so that you're looking at saying there better be some quick starts going on here in the first couple of weeks? Is there overreaction too early in the season sometimes? And if so, who is it that you're just saying, well, let's just hold on here before all the red flags come up?
No, I would say, and Brad, we see this every year. Teams, you cannot win a division title in April, but you can certainly lose one in April. Because if you dig too deep of a hole, it is almost impossible to come out of. So I would say that the Kansas City Royals cannot let things. I know that they've only played one game and they lost to Detroit. But that's a team that, because they're in the division with Detroit, which is a powerful club, cannot really fall behind. I would put the Arizona Diamondbacks in the exact same class, because you've got teams like the Giants and the Dodgers in your division. And if you do fall behind too much the first 3 or 4 weeks, it's just really difficult. You're expending a lot of energy trying to catch up, and that is never, ever easy. So if you're in a division with a powerful team, you better not fall behind by too much, because it's difficult to catch up. We saw it last year with the Washington Nationals. They fell behind in April and May, and, yeah, they played great the last 2 months of the season, but it was too late. They couldn't catch Atlanta. There was too big of a gap there for them to close it, and those things happen. Like I said, you can't win in April, but you can certainly lose in April.
Safe travels. Let you go. Thanks for your time.
Brad, always great.
Pedro Gomez with us for a couple of minutes. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central. Great to be partnered up with the Arizona Republic. White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona. And, of course, on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. On the other side, Scott Peters is going to be with us. I'm going to shift gears. Scott has come up with, of course, Scotty's been with us many, many times through the years. But Scott's come up with the founding principles of safe football. And then we're going to bring on board the Rattlers team physician, Dr. Sheldon Martin, and also team president and CEO Joe Windham are both in studio. This is going to be something a little different for me, but I've done a lot on the concussion issue, but also just health in general. The Rattlers are doing a cool event later on in the month of April that you're going to want to know about. I'll share that with you, too, as we roll on. Brad Sussmat on Sports 360 AZ.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, going to be part of the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Scott Peters joins us now for a couple of minutes. Always good to catch up with Scotty, former ASU star, seven-year NFL vet, founder of Safe Football. When Scott and I are done with our segment, then I'm going to have Dr. Sheldon Martin, the team doctor for the Rattlers, and team president Joe Windham in studio. They have a special event for coaches and high school players later on this month that I think is very important to be a part of. Scotty, in my opinion, is one of the trendsetters, one of the guys that's breaking new ground with what he's developed in safe football. When I first started Sports 360 AZ, back in the Pros to Preps days, Scott would come on along with Gray Rugemer and we'd screw around ASU football. But Scotty was working on this. He also has Fight Ready, which he'll talk about too. I'm curious right off the top, how are you doing? How are things?
I'm doing great, Brad. Thanks for having me on. It's been a little while, but enjoyed always getting on with you, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, so for people that don't know safe football and what you decided to do and how the NFL looked at your model and what safe football was all about, because I'm hearing about a partnership with the Chandler School District. I'm hearing how you've taken and developed your techniques, and it's now starting to gain hold and gain momentum that people are no longer head in the sand, oh, this can't happen to my kid or this can't happen to my team.
Yeah, you know, it's a proactive measure. Safe football is really, you know, the whole premise is based on, you know, there's a high correlation between safety on the field and the degree of skill that a player exerts when he's playing. So I think with what we see in football, generally speaking, we have really complex offensive and defensive systems now. You see players at the youth levels, even or coaches at the youth levels, integrating things like the spread offense, the pistol, very complex systems that, you know, takes time away from the kids from the standpoint of fundamentals. Like in other sports where you see development going on in baseball, kids play off the tee, then they go to, you know, they elevate gradually over time, but they develop some skills. In football, they're issued helmets, pads, and then limited opportunities to actually develop their skill set before they reach the field, and then they make contact. And we can't afford to the learning curve is kind of dense, and I don't think we can afford to use our brain cells to learn the hard way, if you will. So what we do is we teach with safe football. It's a series of techniques to engage opponents using the hands. The helmet has no role in this, and it's actually been adopted early in most the NFL coaches and players that we work with. They know it as the bridge and buckle. It's a series of techniques. But safe football is just more of a concept that we're trying to improve the game safety by way of skill development of the player. So it's using leverage concepts, hand fighting techniques, things like that. And we have partnered with the Chandler School District, among other school districts, like Paradise Valley picked us up, working with Higley School District. Arizona is where we're located. We've done things outside of the state, but I'm really trying to hone in on the state here because I think, because I'm from, you know, we're here and we live here, and it's important that we get things moving and get people to shift their mindset from the old ideology of just hit the guy harder with the bigger hammer and using your head to do that to a more intelligent way to play, more sophisticated, intelligent style of playing, and then focusing on giving players the tools and the skill sets to go out and execute. Not only that, and to play safer, but also to play better, because I think that's the one thing I want people to take away is that this is not a program that was designed to be soft or to be inferior by any means. It's just a more effective way to play, and it just so happens to, you know, we use our head not to bash people, but to our brain to think and innovate and to win the mental game as well. So that's what we do.
How talking with Scott Peters. So when you first came on board with this, were you basically looked at like, are you nuts? Were people respected?
I still get a couple of those people. You know, there's a real old school mindset. You know, if you think about, and I played through that, and actually I do appreciate some of the crusty nature of some of these guys, these coaches, because I think it is a tough physical game, and you can't get around that. And I don't think that, but I think what we have to start looking at, and I found it to be ironic that a lot of these old school, quote, old school coaches, Dan Cazzetto being one of them, I'm sure you know
Dino
the name.
Yeah.
Cazzetto is known by, in many circles as a tough, he's a tough physical coach, a guy that wants to promote toughness among his players. Well, he was one of the first adopters of safe football, not because of, you know, I mean, obviously he's concerned about safety and, you know, of the players, but at that level of coaching at the college and NFL level, they have to do this on winning. So they see this as an advantage, and most coaches that have, you know, the adaptation is the quality of a good coach. I mean, they have to move with the times and be able to compete and win. So when I found, you know, I get a little bit of skepticism when people look at it and go, well, what's safe football? You have to be giving up. I think the misconception is you have to be giving something up for that.
Right.
If it's safer, then it's not going to be as effective. And that's not the case. It's, you know, think about it as a martial art, if you will, because we're using, you know, scientific properties like human biomechanics is all consistent with the techniques we work with. So it's just more effective ways to, we're generating vertical lift. So if you think about engaging a player across the ball, oftentimes it's you might as well be pushing a vehicle, pushing a car. You're leaning out in front. You're striking with your helmet. But very seldom you ever see a guy that's using his helmet to displace another player. And I'm talking about, you know, blocking and shedding blocks, anything prior to the tackle. If you take a look at the statistics in football, the majority, overwhelming majority of helmet contact and head injuries, subsequent head injuries, result from pre-tackle collisions. And that's what safe football focuses in on. There's a program by the NFL, which is great. It's a good way of thinking. It's along the lines of safety through preventative training, and it's called Heads Up Football. And we are different entirely from them because we teach a totally different set of curriculum. Ours is about pre-tackle collisions. It's estimated, and this is all scientifically proven through the American Journal of Sports Medicine did a study that 71% of the head injuries on the field result from pre-tackle collisions. Mm. And we hear about tackles a lot because if you're watching the game at home, you see the ball, that's really what you see. You see the receiver going over the middle, getting cracked pretty bad and knocked out. Those are issues that we can see some improvement there. And I think with the penalties and the fine systems and all that stuff that are going on helmet to helmet contact, maybe that changes it. But at the end of the day, without giving players tools to effectively tackle, to effectively carry out their job and do it at a high level where they can perform and win, I think we're selling ourselves short until that happens. And so what I'm doing with my part, small part, but there's a lot of, it's going to require a full spectrum of knowledge and people trying to really assign real effective solutions to this problem to see anything, to see the game continue on to where we all want it to go, because I think the game is a great game. I think it's an awesome game and America's best sport, in my opinion. I think that kids can benefit from this game, but we also have to acknowledge that the injuries are there. And kind of to circle back to your question, am I looked at like I'm crazy? Yeah, I am.
That may be true.
I see people starting to, the tide is shifting and people are starting to see this and they go, wow, they can't deny that it works.
Maybe it should be smart football rather than safe football. I don't know. I don't want to screw
Perhaps.
Up the business model.
I mean, it's all in the same lines.
No, it is.
In fact, I don't even think of it like it's not. This isn't about me. It's not about the techniques I have. It's just a way of thinking. So, you know, hopefully others will come about. People are going to start looking at the game and saying, hey, this is the next. The evolution of football is not on the X's and O's. It's on the skill development of players. And we have to look there first, because like any other industry that's had some issues with injuries and safety concerns, like take mining, for instance. The mining industry has had its share of deaths and tragedies going on in the shafts. What do they do? They didn't improve the helmet. They looked at, okay, what are the protocols? How do we make this safer? We have to train our miners better. Same in special forces. I mean, if you look at the Navy SEALs, they don't go into an environment, a hostile environment, well outnumbered and get through because they got great Kevlar. This is training that they've adopted, the best training they could find, and then that's the reason why they're successful. We have to look through the same lens, I think, in football and say, well, why are kids getting injured? Well, usually they don't know what they're doing, and I didn't know what I was doing. So I've got a great group of guys that helped me coach, former NFL players, most of them, and we've had a great impact. We're excited about the work we're doing because we do love the game. We think it's in jeopardy right now because it will always be in jeopardy as long as the players themselves are are in jeopardy of injuries such as concussions, which we know, you know, you can have a broken hand or a broken foot or a leg, and you can live a functional life. But if you have brain damage and issues like that, which is very real, by the way, you know, you're, I don't think it is worth it for guys if they have serious brain trauma. So to make the game come full circle, we have to look back at the skill development of each player. So that's what we're doing.
Before I get you out of here, so someone's hearing this right now or they're consuming it and they're saying, you know what, I'd like to learn more. Where would they go? How would they get in touch with you?
They can go to our website, safefootball.org. We have all the information there on Safe Football, but we also have a program called Tip of the Spear. And you mentioned Fight Ready. Fight Ready is a mixed martial arts gym that started, and it's in Scottsdale, and Shea in the 101. We work with high school kids now. We've opened the program. It's called Tip of the Spear. It's an off-season supplemental training program. It's all hand fighting. It's basically it's a football-specific martial art. A lot of players go out, and you'll hear about guys like Clay Matthews doing MMA training. Well, that's all fine and dandy. It's just that's kind of like you're getting there's literally not a giant correlation between what he does in MMA and football. There's some carryover. This is 100% transferable. Kids come in on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. We've got some of the best players in the state using this program. We have NFL coaches. We have college coaches coming out watching. You don't have to be a college prospect to come train. You just have to be someone who's committed to improving. And so we do that at Fight Ready in Scottsdale. But you can find all that information on safefootball.org.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always. We'll catch up down the road, do a little bit more. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Brad. Take care.
Scott Peters, former ASU star, 7-year NFL vet, founder of Safe Football. Okay, so on the other side, we have Dr. Sheldon Martin with Ortho Arizona, Arizona Orthopedic Associates. He's also the team doctor for the Arizona Rattlers, and their team president and COO, Joe Windham, both in studio on the other side. We touch on this issue occasionally. Day like today, I wanted to devote a half hour for a lot of stuff to chew on. Appreciate Scott for part of it. On the other side, we'll get into it with the Rattlers. That's next.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360az.
Sports360az.com, azcentralsports.com. Brad Sussmat on White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. For those of you watching the stream, you're saying, wow, busy studio today. We have Joe Windham, the Arizona Rattlers president, COO, AZ Rattlers prez on Twitter, back-to-back champs. You're wearing the hardware.
I'm wearing a little bit of it, yeah.
Got the bling, two of those. Man, those things are, hold that up. I mean, there you go. Just get right in there on that. And then we have Dr. Sheldon Martin. He's with Ortho Arizona, okay, official team physician with the Arizona Rattlers, the head orthopedic surgeon of the Rattlers, orthopedicarizona.com. And you've worked with the Panthers, you've worked with Joe Gibbs Racing, you've worked with in the college world as well, so you've been around the block a little bit, and you have the Rattlers.
Yeah.
So let's get into this, Joe, about why is it that the Rattlers have decided that they're going to do an event later on this month for youth coaches and to see that it's not just the game itself. What made you guys decide to go down this path on the medical end?
Well, I think it goes back to the core values of the Rattlers, and it's being ingrained in the community. We're really a community-based team. There's not a lot of guys in Iowa, unless they lived in Arizona, you know, watching for us on TV. And so we're very community-based. And one of the things that we did when we first got to Arizona, when Ron Schertz bought the team, was revamp the medical system because we had to upgrade it for our players. And so we were able to talk to Dr. Ott, worked a deal, found Dr. Martin, who had NFL experience, the football and everything. So it grew from that, and now he has several surgeons, and we have, you know, hands down the best medical team on, you know, in the AFL. And so the next natural progression was we wanted to help brand Ortho Arizona, and Dr. Martin and his group came up with an idea to help the youth groups, because that's who feeds the pro teams. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, and now there's a lot of bad press with all these injuries, and, you know, parents aren't wanting their kids to play football. And so if we can teach everybody that's involved with football, and that's athletic trainers, the medical professions, the parents, you know, the coaches, and everybody, how to protect the players, then that's a good thing. And that's where, you know, the Ortho Arizona group is going to come in and talk to all the ATCs in the area and teach them how to work on the kids.
The Rattlers are home on Saturday night against Jacksonville. It's military night. That's at 6 o'clock kickoff. You can go to azrattlers.com. So they come to you and they say, Dr. Martin, how can you get involved? How can you help out? How did you get involved and help out with the ATCs around the state?
Well, as Joe was saying initially, I took over the team last year, and part of what I wanted to do was introduce a medical staff that was commensurate with what you would expect at the NFL. And so that was really my first mission last season, is bringing in a team of subspecialists, a foot and ankle surgeon, a spine surgeon, a hand surgeon, to assist me in taking care of more of the subspecialty type injuries that some of these players incur during the season. So we got that established pretty well last season. As Joe was saying, we were able to really decrease the number of players that were on the injured reserve list going into this upcoming season. And so now moving forward, my next goal is really player education and community education getting out the message on some of these hot topics, if you will, especially that are coming from the NFL. A lot of topics such as concussions and ACL injuries, because let's be honest, football is it's a violent sport and it's a tough sport, and players get injured. But I think there's a lot of education that can be dispersed to help decrease these injuries, and that's really what we focus on, obviously, during the season, is keeping these players healthy, but then keeping the education going out in the community is also another important part of that, and that's what we're focusing on with this ACL injury prevention clinic coming up on April 26th. And that really the goal of that is educating the football players, the families of football players, the athletic trainers, the physical therapists, the athletic directors of some of these high school programs around the valley about ACL injuries, because those injuries continue to go up. And so there's a lot of research that we believe may help prevent ACL injuries.
I've had five.
There you go.
My wife's had 20, and I'm not joking. So you're talking to, we're very familiar with ice, stim, CPM, sit on the edge of the table. We're very familiar with cadaver tendon, hamstring tendon. We're very familiar with everything that you're talking about ACL. So you're talking right at your core audience here.
Exactly.
I can help. I can be one of those folks that says, hey, if you think your knee's not going to get jacked up playing sports, you're wrong. So I got it. You know,
yeah.
What message do you tell parents then, or coaches?
Well, in terms of educating them in terms of prevention, it's more of what the physical therapists are going to do with them in these training programs, preseason and off-season training programs. And so I have less involvement in that than the physical therapists and the trainers do. I tend to see these players obviously more after they've torn their ACL and they need the surgery for it. But again, it's an issue of education and trying to teach players safe playing, safe tackle techniques, staying in shape in the off season, cross training, those sorts of issues.
So this event is on Saturday, April 26th. They'll have a VIP experience, 3 to 4 on the field demonstration, a VIP tour, dinner, the Rattlers against San Antonio. And Joe's putting this together along with all the Rattler folks. I'm curious about the on-the-field demonstration, though, Dr. Martin. What is in the on-the-field demonstration is, if you're on the ground grabbing your knee, it's not good. What is it in particular you're going to do in that segment? I'm just wondering.
That's right. It's not going to be Joe running around the field throwing T-shirts up into the crowd.
No.
But really, that's going to be more focused. We're also co-branding this with Foothills Physical Therapy. And some
good people.
Really good folks.
Yep.
And they've helped the Rattlers out for a number of years in the therapy department.
20 years been going to those folks.
Correct. And so Matt Midkiff is one of their therapists who's been helping out quite a bit in getting this program on board and off the ground. So he's going to be demonstrating some of the specific exercises that can be done in the off season, in the preseason, to help strengthen a player's leg muscles, core muscles, teach them proprioception and different types of exercises to help try to prevent ACL injuries.
And that's a big thing because, I mean, how many guys did we have injured in training camp? I mean, we had quite a few injuries because they come in and they haven't done the correct exercises and they haven't come to, you know, to camp in shape. And then they have the memory of how they were when they were in shape.
Right.
And then you come out there and you pop something. And we've actually got somebody that's gone for the season already.
And that's one of those things where here you are, the president of the team. Doesn't mean you don't care about these players, but when you start adding up players on injured reserve and writing checks to guys that are hurt, that's not good.
Well, and it's not good for anybody. It's
no.
Obviously, it's not good for business. It's not good for them. This is what they want to do. And one of the philosophies, you know, that Ron's had here and that we've had and you know, Coach Guy is, you know, football isn't forever. You know, what are you going to do after football? And so we talk to these guys all the time about what they're going to do after football, and we certainly don't want to send them out there like Jim Otto, where he has a Burger King up in Northern California and has a poster that has 72 little bubbles telling where he's had surgeries and breaks and things like that. You know, we want to send them out there healthy and to be able to provide for their families, you know, the rest of their life. So that's kind of where all this comes from.
If people go to this, Dr. Martin, what are they going to get out of it?
So I think, number one, my goal is mostly education, trying to learn the techniques that they can do in the off season and the preseason to prepare them for the upcoming football season to help them try to prevent an ACL injury that would require surgery. As I said, there's a lot of research out there that we believe that these techniques may help and may make a difference. And so my number one priority is really trying to get that out into the community. Number two is I hope they have a fun educational day in getting out to the Rattlers and getting into the arena at U.S. Airways Center and just getting immersed in that. And, you know, I hope to spread some excitement for the Rattlers.
On the field, so, I mean, come on, don't screw up. You know, you're sitting there, you've got the pressure of back-to-back. Is there pressure with back-to-back?
Well, you know what, and I take Kevin Guy's philosophy on this. We've already won those, and I know it sounds cliche, but he goes out to win a championship every year, and we already own them. So our thing is we go out there and we try to win every game that we play, and that's the mindset that Kevin has. And you know, and I'll never forget the speech the first year that we won in under the Kevin Guy, you know, era was, you know, he got a question at media day was, well, what's it going to be like having a target on your back and all this stuff? And he thought for a second, he goes, no, we're the hunters. He goes, they have targets on their back. We're coming after them. And that's his philosophy. So we won those and we celebrated and we had our great time and we've got a little bit of hardware, but we still have more work to do. And you know, and that's how he approaches it. And you know, I love the way he coaches. And
that looks like a little bit more than a little bit of hardware, Joe.
Well, I am getting a little bigger right now.
You were walking in. I mean, you got this big old bulging bicep going. And you have to treat him for a back problem there,
that's
Dr.
Right.
Martin.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with that. In terms of where you see the Arena League going in preventative and taking care of its players, are there things that you've consulted them about? Do they talk to you? Do you have some thoughts on, look, guys, here's where we need to go with these players? Because it's pretty evident right now the NFL is in the middle of that. The college scene, I think, is looking at it closer. High schools, I believe, is like the great unknown for many of these programs. Really nice people, just lack of experience. How about the Arena League?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously the NFL drives a lot of these initiatives and Division I football as well at the university level. And so I think the next big initiative for the AFL is probably concussion management. And so that's something that's been talked about a lot, I know, with this upcoming season, and something that's going to be continued to discuss quite a bit, and hopefully some more initiatives are going to be put in place for next season in terms of more kind of widespread protocols for pre-season and pre-game concussion testing and
baseline tests,
exactly.
When to come back and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, and that's important information, I think, because the baseline test on its own merit, that's just one test. How many more tests need to be put in place?
Well, exactly. I mean, it's just one piece of the puzzle, so to speak. You know, you're still basing your decision on whether this player is able to play or whether they're done playing based on your clinical exam of them, the baseline test, the post-injury test. So it's just one more piece. The decision is not made solely based on the test, but it does help us make clinical decisions.
Again, this is on Saturday, April 26th. The Rattlers play the San Antonio Talons. It's a VIP experience, 2 to 3 is the information, 3 to 4 on-field demonstration, 4 to 4:30 the VIP tour. If people want more information about this, Joe, where would they go? AZRattlers.com?
Yeah, and then there's a link to Ortho Arizona on there, so we'll have information there as that game comes up, and Ortho Arizona will have information on their website as well.
Thanks both for coming in.
Thank you, Brad.
Appreciate both of them.
Thanks.
Dr. Sheldon Martin, Joe Windham, Arizona Rattlers president and COO. The Rattlers, by the way, they have a home game this Saturday night against the Jacksonville Sharks. It is military night, 6 o'clock kickoff. Go to azrattlers.com. Sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports going to be partnered up with the Arizona Republic. White Mountain Radio and on Twitter. I'm Brad Sussmat.